Okay, so my plan had been to go into a series on healing. Healing is, and I'm talking not just physical, but mental and spiritual, emotional, just healing to the overall person, because that's a central part of who we are as a vineyard. But as here's the interesting thing, as I was listening to the praying about it and making some plans. And here, by the way, here's something. If you're wondering if God wants you to do something, start walking in that direction. And as long as you live a life that is in submission to God, he will just bump you if he doesn't want you to go that way. Or he might be like some parents, you know, that you want to go that way? Okay. You'll find out the hard way. That's usually the way him and I work, like that. And I sense the Lord saying, actually, you just need to do a refresh. Now, I don't know about what type of occupations you guys all have, but I know the one I previously had, and even now, you need to do, you get sent on refresher courses. Or, does that ring a bell for anybody? You know, they send you on we used to call it retread course, because it's sort of like the tire got bald and they had to send you back out to put a new tread on. And the whole thing was basically teaching the basics, the very basics. And the reason is because you become dull. You become dull. You become like a blade, right? You're dull. You're not sharp anymore. And you can become complacent. And that can look various ways depending on what area of work you work in. But I just sense the Lord saying, actually, you just need to refresh before you hit the thing on healing. And it's like, well, what does that look like, God? What are you talking about? And it's just the basics of what he's called us into as disciples, as far as the kingdom, what he's invited us to join him in his kingdom work. That it was just this sense that we have become. And we do. It happens to everybody in every church, everywhere. You become complacent where you think this is what it's all about. And if this is what it's all about, God help us, right? Because there's more to the life that he's called us to, more to what he's called us to be about. So we're going to do it. We're going to go back to this whole thing, what I showed. Can you just flip the next screen there for me, David? Because I can't flip it. Oh, actually, I don't have. It's not showing even a red dot, so I'm guessing I don't even have it. I have a dead battery. Bang! That's what I usually do with electronics, right? Give it a boot, and then it works. Okay, we can't make it move. Don't have to worry about it. Okay, if it comes back on, just somebody yell out, "Back on!" What's that? No, there's no batteries. There is. Maybe if you could put new batteries in for me, Donna, that'd be great. Thank you. Okay. Yay. Don't you love technology? We're so dependent. Are we back on? That's on. Okay. Okay, but it has to change. Okay, let's get back on track here. Oh, there we go. Okay, so part of core of what we do is in that blue blotch, I don't know what to call it, doing the stuff, which is when we talk about that, it's basically doing what Jesus did when he was here on earth. And not just what, and I want to expand that a bit, because we can tend to focus that just Jesus did it. It wasn't just Jesus that did it. It was the apostles, it was the disciples, it was the early church, it was everybody was doing it, right? Was doing what Jesus modeled and what he brought and the whole thing as far as the kingdom goes. So we are going to think of this next few weeks as training. Now, for training to be effective, if it's all theory, you've lost people, right? Maybe unless you're right into theory, theoretical stuff. But I know for most people, you can talk about stuff, but you can only talk for so long, and then you got to put it into practice. Because really, when you put it into practice, you learn. That sticks with you. So we're going to do some talking, but we're also going to practice practical stuff. Now, before you make a mad dash, this is keep it very safe. So we're not going to put anybody on the spot or anything like that. But let's play together. Let's see what it is the Lord would do would do in our midst here. Because this is practice for out there. Okay? That's all this is. This is practice for out there. So, speaking of play, there are times when I'll come up, if I'll be parking my car during the week, and I'll either see the little kids. We have a preschool. Everybody knows the Oaks preschool. And great things are happening there. Boy, that's another story. But we'll pull up, and I'm either, or I'm leaving, but you'll see the teachers taking the little wee midgets out, eh? And the little wee kids out into the playground. We have a nice playground out there. Like it's a cool playground. Be nice to go out there when no one's looking and go and play in it, right? But you know darn well if I did that, somebody would see. And they would do this. They would do this. And it'd be next thing, it'd be on Facebook or something, right? And I'd be like, oh my gosh. So I won't do that. But you go out there, you watch the kids. And it's funny. They all go out in a line, right? Orderly. And then as soon as the gate opens and they go in, they just all go and do. They don't really know what it is they're doing. Right? You can tell, but they just go and do whatever. There's all this equipment. There's a little track, you know, there's tricycles. There's all sorts of things. And they just know right from the get-go, we get to go play, right? And they just go and they just do it. And they don't have the kids lined up outside on the fence watching some of the kids do it. And the teachers don't go and play and show them and, you know, show them how to play or anything like that. The kids just instinctively know and they go and do. Some are using the equipment. Some just go for the sandbox or whatever. Some want to just play in the grass or whatever they do. But they just naturally know what to do. No one has to tell them. When we think about Jesus and the kingdom he brought, and the kingdom he brings, I think of it much like a playground in the sense that, not that it's play, but in the sense that the kids exhibit for us the attitude that we should have, that Jesus has invited us in to join him in his work he's doing now around the world here. In our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces. He has invited us to watch what he's doing and join him in on it. And you know what? There's nowhere in Scripture, in the Gospels, where he says, you got to get it right. Just go and do it. When he gave his instructions to the 12 and to the 72 to go and, you know, preach the good news. And I believe when he said preach the good news, I don't think he meant that you stand on a street corner and preach the good news. I think he meant by the whole thing of preaching, proclaiming, was tell people about this good news that God has sent a Messiah, that there is hope, but demonstrate it. The kingdom is here. And he didn't tell them how to do it. He just said, just go and heal, go and raise, go and cast out, right? That's what he just sent them, and they went. And who knows? We don't know. They don't even come back and say how they did it. They just went out, and things started to happen. Things started to happen, and I think it's... So when I think of that, of a playground, I think the playground actually gives us a good picture of how we should posture ourselves. We should be like children that go into a playground. And we don't have to be told how to use a teeter-totter. Some of us will do it properly and sit on the seats. And others of us will probably try and get up there on our own or balance it, you know. Do all sorts of silly things on it. But the core of Jesus' message was the good news. And Mark's gospel and the other gospels as well, they all record the same thing, some of Jesus' message. And this is what it says in Mark in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached the God's good news. And the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Now, a lot of times we'll read that, and we'll read that word repent as if it's a smack. Repent, you know? And that's not what Christ was calling us to, was calling people to. He's calling, just change your ways. You know, we think this way. I want you to think this way instead. Repent just means we turn and go. We face Jesus and we follow in the steps he's taking us in, where he's leading us. And that's the core of the good news. And by the way, anybody have this book? I'll hold it up higher. I should have had it just on the screen. If you don't, it's worth every penny to buy this. Now, this was written by Gary Best. He was our first national director here in Canada. He's now retired, this is the core of who we are, but it's the core too of the kingdom. It's very readable, lots of stories, but he hits the nail on the head in this book. It's naturally supernatural. I'm sure you can get it. I don't know if you can get it on Kindle, but you can get it. So if you don't have it, get it, read it. It's an easy and enjoyable read. Here's a statement he makes. Here's what he says. He says, we have put all of our energy into trying to get people into heaven instead of trying to get heaven into people. True? Very true. He also quotes from Dallas Willard. If you don't know Dallas Willard, he's dead now, but he wrote a brilliant book called The Divine Conspiracy. Anyway, Dallas says, we have tried to get people ready to die rather than getting them ready to live. They're both saying the same thing, but it's this whole sense of eternal life. What Jesus brought starts now, not when we die. It's now, right now. So it's the whole thing about living. Jesus said, I came to give life and to bring it now and just show us how to really live. And then Jesus, what was the mission? What was the core? What's the passage that describes Jesus' core mission? Anybody know off the top of your head? See, I got to think on this and process it, so I know the answer. What is it? Right. You know where that is in the Gospels? Very good. Look at that. Gold star. Right? This is what Jesus said. Because this is he had was on a Sabbath day, went to the synagogue in his hometown, and they handed him the scroll, because he was recognized as being a rabbi, but they handed him the scroll to read, and he read from Isaiah, and he read this passage. He said, and he quotes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Okay? That was his mission. Very tangible. It speaks to the needs of the poor. It speaks to tragedies in people's lives. It speaks to people that are entrapped in, and we could put it in today's language, but with addictions, with anything that's holding them down. It speaks to the oppression that goes on in society, that his mission is to bring life into those areas that are dying. And what's interesting here, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. We live in a time of the Lord's favor right now. It is right now. It's not a matter of, how do you feel? Does it feel like it is? No, it is the time of the Lord's favor. Like I said back a few weeks ago, We need to be like miners who mine for diamonds. There might be dirt all around, but we're looking. We know there's diamonds there in that mine, and we're looking for those diamonds because we know they're there. And as kingdom people, as Jesus' disciples, we know the kingdom is near. And so we're looking for that. We're looking for his kingdom. So this is very tangible. And this good news wasn't just for then. It's for now. That's good news today. It's reality. And the kingdom is here. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's the good news for all of humanity. It's the good news. So I couldn't agree with you more. Now, so when we talk about the kingdom, do you know what is meant by the kingdom? The kingdom, it's not and this is a common teaching, the kingdom is not a geographical realm area. It's not like Great Britain is a kingdom, right? Or anything like that. What actually the kingdom means is this. It's the range of one's effective will. I'll just quote from what Gary wrote in his book about this. He says, where God's will is done, his kingdom is present. But then he adds these words. Where our will is done, our kingdom is present. When I read those, I go, ah, that's why I have problems sometimes. I want my kingdom to come. I want my will to be done. That's the problem. There's two competing kingdoms going on here, Scott. Like, what are you doing? And that's where the rub comes. Because let's be honest. How many of us want our will done? Like, really? You know? We're way happier, aren't we? When my will gets done, I'm so much a happier guy to be around. So much more challenging when I have to relinquish my will. But that's what the whole, it's when we allow God's will to be done, his kingdom is there. It's there, and we can see it. It breaks through. And the beauty of the kingdom is that God does it all. We don't have to do anything for it. We don't have to do this for God. God brings his kingdom, but there is one thing that we have to do. And I've already alluded to it. There's one thing we have to do. Jesus said it here in Matthew. This is in the Beatitudes. God blesses those who realize their need for him. Now, I know you're not like me. Totally get it. That's easy to read. That is not easy to acknowledge. There is something in me that doesn't want to, I don't want to feel that I have a need. I want to be self-sufficient. Right? Now, maybe that's, I know that's probably not you. But that's one of the things, when I'm honest, that's one of the things I struggle with. That I actually have a need. Now, I think in our culture, now here's my guess. In our culture we live in a first world country, right? We have first world problems, right? Our first world problems is like our tech problems. Like, really? That's what's stressing you out today? You don't have batteries? Oh my. You have a fantastic life if that's up on your high stress list, Scott. Like, you know, give your head a spin. But it's recognizing our poverty, and not just poverty economically, our poverty spiritually, our need for God, our inability to save ourselves, our inability to be able to fulfill the law. We can't fulfill the law. And we realize we're impoverished. When we recognize our need and turn from that self-reliance and submit to God, and reach for that new life, when we go for it, when we say, yes, God, I need you. I need you. Bang. That's when you see the kingdom breaking through. And again, I want to quote from Gary's book here. See, I just want to give you a taste so that you go out and buy it. He says this, "We do not do anything to obtain the good news. Nothing. We just submit to it. It's always near to us, but we must reach for it again and again." And then he goes on to say, as long as there is a desire to stretch out our hand, the kingdom of God is near enough to reach. And it's the whole thing about just submitting to the King and the kingdom. Submitting to Jesus and saying, "Lord, we need you." I just want to bracket this. Sometimes we wrestle with the fact when we hear stories over in other countries. They could be third world or fourth world countries where the miraculous is happening, and yet here we don't see the miraculous as much. And there's a wonder why is that? Why isn't God moving? Like, you know, what is it? And I think it's that. I don't think we really, really have our desperation isn't the same as someone who is in a third or fourth world country. It's not the same, our desperation. Folks there don't have benefits. They don't even have hospitals, or if they do, they don't even come close to what we have. And then they might be miles away from any type of medical. Are they desperate? Majorly, right? And I believe when they come to God for, "Can you heal me?" I think there's a deep longing in them that goes, "God, if it's not you, I have nothing." I think, I don't know, it could be, probably I'm wrong, but I don't know, my hunch says maybe. Anyway, the other thing about the kingdom is never did doing the stuff, praying for people to be healed, praying for people to be released from any demonic oppression, praying for any situations, for relational wholeness and that. Did it ever come to an end? It never came to an end where that stopped. You see it in the Gospels, you see it in the early church, and you see it as it was passed on down through, as people went about. You know, the one question they asked, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" That's what the disciples asked. "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" "No, you haven't." "Oh, then let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you." And the church would spread and spread and spread. It hasn't stopped. It only stops in our head. But the kingdom doesn't stop. God's still on his mission. Now, what's the key to doing this stuff? And honestly, When I read things like, you know, Jesus, I don't know what I would have been like had I been hanging out with the disciples and he said, "Okay, guys, I'm sending you out." You know, oh, by the way, so I'll save that for later. Let me stay on my notes here. I would have been a little intimidated if Jesus had said, "Okay, I want you to go out, Scott, go out in the neighborhood here, and I want you to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead." Like, can we start with backs? You know, can we start there and see how that goes before we get into the other stuff? You know, I'm not so sure if I have, I know I don't have the faith, you know, at times for the other stuff, right? It's, and there's where my kingdom wants to come in, right? To say, no, I can pray for this, not, let's not this. I want to have control because I want to see success, right? And things can get really messed up. But we got to remember, it's his kingdom. He brings it. We don't bring the kingdom. We just join him in what he is doing. It's not dependent upon us. It's not dependent upon me. It's not dependent on the songs we sing or anything like that. Now, here's an interesting quote from Jesus. This is an interesting one. And this is found in John 5. I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, the Son can do nothing by himself. Stop. Let's stop right there. By himself, what could Jesus do? Nothing. Jesus himself said, on my own, I can't do anything. I can't do a thing. That's Jesus' words. That's him. He says, he goes on to say, he does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's the key. It's just keeping our eyes open to see where the Lord is moving. It's being sensitive to that. It's where when that becomes natural to do, and it's still not there for me. I can be a very focused person. If you ever see me driving, right, I'm usually because I got something I'm going to, right? And my mind is already at my destination where I go. As a result, it's like driving with blinders on. No, I don't really have blinders on. I am paying attention. But it's like I got blinders on. I'm focused and I can totally oblivious to anything going around me. And sometimes I can live my life that way. That's why it's so important for me to take time to be quiet, to listen, because every time I do, and slow down and stop. Every time I, literally, every time. It's brilliant. It's amazing, actually. But every time, God, I can hear God whispering. I can hear him saying stuff. He did this morning. This morning, I didn't feel like I had time to have my quiet time, right? that's not uncommon for me, right? I just feel like I got, you know, too many things on my head that I got to do, but I took time. I said, no, I'm going to take time. And God spoke. God spoke to me. I heard his voice. And it's just paying attention. That's what Jesus was talking about. He just listened to what the Father was doing. And he got to a point where he could be walking in the marketplace or, you know, going through a crowd of people. And he would detect, oh, there's the Father moving right there. And he would just see what is the Father doing. And over the next 2-3 weeks, we'll get more into this as far as what that all means, what that looks like. But Jesus would just listen to what the Father was doing, what he was doing, look for what he was doing, and then he would do that. And all we're called to do is the same thing. Look for what the Father's doing and do that. Now, the other thing, what I want you to understand as well, you do know God is God of everything, right? Everything. Generally, the natural inclination, and even in teaching or what in our language, when we talk of doing the stuff or we talk of the kingdom of God or we talk of doing the stuff of the kingdom, we think supernatural. Even my example of what Jesus, you know, charged the disciples to go do, we think supernatural. But God is in the natural as well, right? So acts of kindness, acts of generosity, acts of love. That's the kingdom breaking in. When someone takes the time to write, you know, well, maybe not write, a text, somebody a message just to encourage them. Is that the kingdom? Yes, we can't put that down to, well, that's not really. That's the kingdom breaking in through words of encouragement. Right? That's the Lord moving. When someone senses that God is saying, listen, there's a person here in need, can you give them this? And you hear this all the time. That's the kingdom breaking in. That's people listening. Okay. And they join the Father in what the Father's already doing is working there. So the kingdom looks is both natural and supernatural. It's broad. But it's powerful. Powerful. But all of this takes considerable faith. What you see in the Gospels that the disciples struggled with, what other people struggled with, what the Pharisees had right in front of their face, is this whole thing of unbelief. This whole thing of understanding that, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. We can trust him. It's this whole thing, and it takes incredible faith for us to be able to get to this point where we're moving in that. But every day, if we'll simply ask, even for today, what do we got left? 12 hours left. Not of the teaching. 12 hours. God, can you show me where you're moving today? Can you just show me? Can you help me see it? But sometimes I don't see it. And it'd be interesting to see what you see today. But he might just show you something. I'm working here. And then you ask the question, is there anything you want me to do? Yes. You know, it could be anything, right? And if we have that posture, that's what we're called to. So, next quote. Practice time. Uh-oh. Okay, so, because, see, when I was in my other job, if they just taught us about guns, but never took us out to the range to shoot, it would have been a drag. The fun was going out to the range. Even if you almost miss the target all the time. It was okay. They let you play with the gun longer. That's all. That was the neat thing about policing, right? They weren't out about failing you. They were out about training you. And so they'd give you all the time that you needed to get trained. Beautiful. Beautiful concept. So we should adopt that same thing here. Till you get it right. You don't leave. No, I'm kidding. So how are we going to do this? Well, let's pray first of all. Forget about lunch. Forget about all that stuff. You're going to go home for lunch. But let's not think about that. Let's give our attention to the Father right now. Because I believe that the Lord right now is, even right now, he's at work here amongst us. I really do. So, Father, Lord, we just ask you to come right now and begin to, Lord, would you show us what you're doing here? Would you show us what you're doing? What are you speaking to us, Lord? What are you speaking? What are you saying to us? Whose lives are you working in right now? That's what we want to know, Father. So we just say, Lord, come. Lord, come. So let's just listen. Let's just take some time to listen. Now, listening. What am I listening for, Scott? Well, there could be a scripture passage that comes to you. Could be that. Could be a picture that just comes into your mind that you see. Could be that.
Could be just a sense you're having that somebody's maybe experiencing something, maybe a physical pain they're experiencing, or it could be an emotional pain they're feeling, or just or something that someone's going through. Could be a phrase. Now, if God is speaking to us, remember, Jesus said, I came to give life and give it to the full. So any words that get spoken, it should be about giving life. Jesus isn't a joy sucker. He doesn't dump guilt on us. Sin will bring guilt. The Holy Spirit will convict, but that's different than guilt. So let's see what the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We just ask you to come. So let's just listen.
The Lord says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, gentleness, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm.
So there is a word that was spoken. Does that speak to anybody right now? So let's just pray. What's your first name? Albert? Alberto. Okay, let's just pray for Alberto right now, okay? Maybe maybe two or three people will just want to gather around Alberto. Well, we'll just pray for you right there, Alberto. Okay? We'll just pray for you right here. So I just say to the team, just as you start to pray, but you can also spend time just listening. See what it is the Holy Spirit is saying. Because here's the neat thing. Sometimes, you know, there people, you know, I've had myself where I want prayer for something physical, and the person praying, they go somewhere else with it because they sense the Lord is saying something else that is speaking to a deeper issue that's related to the physical. So that's why it's really important for us to just listen, see what the Father's doing. So Father, we just ask you to come right now. We say, Lord, would you speak to Alberto's heart right now? We say, let your kingdom break through into this. We submit to your rule and reign. What is it you want to do, Father, in Alberto's life? What is it you want to do, Lord? You obviously spoke to him this morning about coming here. And even though he was in pain, Lord, he walked here. There was a sense he was drawn to for whatever reason, you were saying for him to come here. And not that there's anything here that it's you, Father. You're working. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come right now. Let your kingdom come. Thank you, Father. So they're going to just be praying. We're going to let them pray right now. And let's just continue listening to see what the Father is saying, if the Father is saying anything here or anything else that he might be saying to us. Maybe the Lord has put, just place something on your heart right now. If there's something you feel the Lord wants you to say, just if you can get you to stand up and just speak it out. Okay. Let's just see what he's doing. Do you have something, Phil? Go ahead. Okay. Is anybody, what I want to ask, is anybody else sensing the Lord wanting to heal back pain today? Is there anybody else? There's one here. Anyone else sensing that God's wanting to just heal back pain? Anyone else? Okay, who here is experiencing back pain this morning? Pick you. Okay. And back there as well. Andrea in the back corner there. Could we get some women to gather around Jill? And especially for those who've sensed God is wanting to heal, if we could have you join as well. So Jamie, if you want to, either Andrea or Jill, pray for her, that'd be great. And yeah, folks could go back here. And the reason why we will, generally have, women with women and men with men is just for safety reasons. That doesn't mean men can't pray or women can't pray for men or vice versa. It's just make sure they want the person to be safe, feel safe, right? That's really important. So let's just see what the Father's doing. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here and how you're touching people, Lord, and healing people. We say, Lord, would you speak to those who are praying? What is it you're doing? What is it you're doing, Father? What words would you want spoken? And sometimes as we pray, as we pray for physical illness, sometimes it's speaking to the injury or the disease or the ailment directly and just commanding the body to be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus would sometimes just speak directly to the person to be healed or to get up and take your mat and walk. He would very direct. Speak to what is specifically what the issue is. So those who are praying, you can just speak sometimes. If you're sensing God's wanting you to speak, you just speak. And remember, we don't bring the kingdom. That's the beauty. God brings the kingdom. God does. Mike, did you have something? What are you? That's okay. That's okay. Okay. Can you just pray into that for us? Whatever. Is what Mike shared, does that resonate with anyone as far as... You didn't hear what he said at all? We're going to amplify you, Mike.
What I was saying was that there's some people here, and I get the sense it's some younger ones, that are going to start really seeing very clearly. They're going to start seeing through some of the fog and the, you know, the smoke and mirrors that is out there, the world brings on us, and media and all these other things. There's some in here that I think anyway, they're going to see right through it all and get right to the point, right to the bullseye.
Okay, does that resonate with anyone over here? Anyone else? Can we just get some folks to gather around Heidi over here? If I could just get just a couple more people just to gather around. We have one woman here, so if a guy wants to just gather, that's fine too as well. Thanks, Deb. Thank you. Thanks. Get your hand up. Dawn just has something she's sensing the Lord is saying to her.
So the last little while, I think, you know, whatever is going on, I think we're being tested. Our faith is being tested with everything that's going on. It's causing like turmoil inside of us, and it's testing our faith. That no matter what we believe or what's going on, we need to just keep pushing forward and trying to get through these problems and our the test, and just to rise above it all, not let these things bring us down, that they're just little setbacks, but they can be overcome.
Okay. Does that speak to anyone at all? Dawn was just mentioning about that she senses there's a time people are in right now of their faith being tested. And that in that we just persevere and allow that to happen, but just to continue, not to, you know, I guess not to give up basically, right? Or but just to pursue.
That's what I'm going on my own life. And I think that, like, I see it's a lot of other people are going through their own little tests, like whether they're going to fail or conquer.
Okay. Okay. Does that resonate with anyone at all? Is that your calling? Okay.
For me, the Lord showed me an apartment that was really up high, like overlooking Cambridge, with a huge living room with massive windows. And this is where he wants us to be in the spirit. He doesn't want us to be, he wants us to gain altitude. It's really the word he gave me.
Okay.
To gain altitude, to be above and not below, to be the head and not the tail.
Okay.
To gain altitude in our, in who we are, in our authority. Okay. We need to gain altitude.
Okay.
And to stay there. And sometimes it's hard, but you know, when you're sitting and praying, the first thing you need to do is find your high place, that altitude place. And that's
okay.
That's it.
Okay. I'm just going to, we are at 12. I'm just going to wrap up here. So let me just, as people are continuing to pray, and please do just keep continuing to pray. We're just going to close the service off so people are free to go. You can go. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. And, Lord, as we go about today, as we go about tomorrow, Lord, back to work for many of us, but just going through our week. Lord, give us, help us to our eyes and ears to be sensitive to what you are doing and to what you are saying. And Lord, we pray for courage. Pray for courage to be able to step into those places that you're calling us to. And realize, Lord, that it's just us placing our hand on yours as you do the work. So we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let it come, Father.